Today's shiur is Masech Bo Metzia Daf Kuf Beis, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Beis on an Aleph at the top line, Tana Rabbanan. We spoke at the end of yesterday's shiur briefly about the obligation to put a mezuzah on one's home. So Gemara continues with another halacha in that subject. Tana Rabbanan Amask Beis L'Chaveroi, if somebody rents an apartment, Al Soich Lassus L'Mezuzah. As we learned yesterday, it's the tenant's obligation to put up the mezuzah. Furthermore, teaches us the Braisuk Shiyotze, when the tenant leaves the apartment, he shouldn't take the mezuzah with him. And as the Rishonim explain, number of reasons. One is that the mezuzah brings the shechina to the home, so you shouldn't be the one to cause the shechina to leave. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that the mezuzah creates a situation that mazikin don't come to this home. Again, you shouldn't create a situation that mazikin should chas v'shalom be able to come into this home. Another pshat is the mezuzah is a mitzvah, and you shouldn't create a situation of undoing a mitzvah. And actually, these different pshatim are relevant lahalacha l'maisa, because the question is, what is the halacha? If you want to take the mezuzahs and not put them in a drawer, you want to take the mezuzahs and put them up in your new apartment, in your new home, may you or may you not. So the Rishonim certainly say that if it's a situation that you have no way of getting another mezuzah besides this mezuzah that you have, not very relevant nowadays, certainly you're allowed to take the mezuzah. But if it's a situation, as usually is Baruch Hashem, the case currently, that you can't get another mezuzah, you should not take off the mezuzah. Again, the iser is greater if it's because you're taking the shechina away, or you're bringing mezikin, versus if it's only an issue of breaking the mitzvah, because you're not breaking the mitzvah, you're going to use the mezuzah for mitzvah again. Furthermore, the Rishonim say this already, that even if you leave the mezuzah, you have a right to demand that the person who comes into the apartment in your place should pay you for the mezuzah. The Rishonim debate how far that goes. Does it go to the degree that if he refuses to pay, you could take off the mezuzah? Most Rishonim say no, that if he refuses to pay, you have no choice, but you have to leave the mezuzah anyway. The Paiskim do come up with other issues and solutions. One is, if you're moving from apartment, unfortunately, this has happened in the Jewish experience, and it's likely that the people who are going to move into the apartment are non-Jews, not Jews, then you could take the mezuzah, because there's a concern that these people will not treat the mezuzah properly. But if you live in a Jewish neighborhood, where that's unlikely, where probably the person who's going to take your apartment is another Jew, you're not allowed to take the mezuzah. The Das Kedoshim says the following. He says that let's say you have expensive mezuzahs, and the person coming in your place doesn't want to spend the money, doesn't need such expensive mezuzahs. Or could be vice versa too. You have mezuzahs, and the tenant that's going to be taking over the apartment wants his own mezuzahs, better mezuzahs, whatever. So the halacha is, what should be done, this is a combination of a number of opinions, if you take off the mezuzahs, and the new mezuzahs are put on immediately. The new mezuzahs are put on immediately. And not only do you take off your mezuzahs, but you take them off and you have them checked. So there's always a heter to take off mezuzahs in order to be checked. Then that could be done. There are even more poskim that are more lenient, that let's say you have the new tenant refusing to pay for the mezuzahs, and you have expensive mezuzahs. So what you could do perhaps is take off your mezuzahs and put up new mezuzahs, not as expensive mezuzahs. Continues the Gemara. If you live in a Nachri's home, you're allowed to take off the mezuzahs. The Rishonim say not only are you allowed to, but actually that you should take off the mezuzah for two reasons. One reason is because there's a concern that the Nachri will not treat the mezuzah with the proper respect. Another pshat is that the new tenant coming into the home, he comes, he sees an apartment, he sees an empty apartment with mezuzahs. He assumes that the landlord is a Jew. when he's not a Jew, and he can come to make mistakes, other things can happen by this mistaken impression that the landlord is a Jew. Says the Gemara, somebody took the mezuzah, the yotze, and moved, the cover ishta shnei banav. And his two of his children and his wife passed away. As Ritva says, he caused the mazikim to come to this home, and that's why he was hurt by the mazikim. But ask the Gemara, Maisalistar, because Pash Pshat, the Gemara is referring to a situation that he moved out of a Nachri's apartment, and still such terrible things happened. Answers the Gemara, the way to answers Rav Sheshis, the way to understand the Gemara is going back to the ratio. That if you moved out of a Jew's home, you're not allowed to take the mezuzah, and this person who did it had this terrible fate. We learned in the Mishnah, Hazeva Shal Bal Bayis, the manure of the animals belongs to the Bal Bayis, Vein L'Soicher, and the only thing that the tenant is entitled to was Ela Ayoyt Simnatana Menekrayim Bavad, the ashes, the waste produced by the oven. Ask the Gemara B'Mayiskinen, exactly what are the circumstances our Mishnah is referring to? Ilema b'chotzer de oigelei l'soicher, that the chotzer belongs to the landlord, the Torah de soicher, and the animals belong to the animal, to the tenant. The chotzer was rented by the tenant, and the animals belong to the tenant. So Amashe Balabayis. So why should the zevel go to the Balabayis? Ella, the chotzer, the loyal girl ask the soicher. It's talking about a situation that he didn't rent the chotzer. Furthermore, the tyre the masker, the animals belong to the rent, to the landlord. Pshita, so then it's obvious that the zevel should go to the landlord. So what is the Mishnah talking about? Machlekes Rishonim, if in order to make it obvious that it belongs either to the tenant or the landlord, do you have to have both of the factors, that the chotzer is his and the animals are his? What would be the halacha if you have only one thing working in either of them favor? What would be the halacha? Says the Gemara, Lo Tzricha, the Mishnah is referring to a situation, B'chotzer Damasker. The landlord has control on the chotzer. The Tyri, the animals, Dasma Alma, don't belong neither to of them. The Tyri, the Alma, Kambay. These animals that don't belong to either of them deposited this manure. And therefore the Mishnah is saying that the chotzer of the landlord is kinda the zevel on behalf of the landlord. Because, Messiah le Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina, Don Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina, chatzer shaladnu kaina lo shalem b'datoi. A person's chatzer automatically is kaina everything in it on his behalf. Ask the Rishonim, as we're going to learn, the only time a chatzer is kaina on behalf of the owner of the chatzer is if it's a chatzer amishtameris. Here the landlord isn't there. So how is it kaina for him if it's not a chatzer amishtameris? So I saw two answers. One answer is that maybe the landlord doesn't live in the house, but he lives in the neighborhood, so he's able to watch the chatzer, and therefore it's considered a chatzer mishtameres. Another pshat that I saw is that the landlord kept control of the chatzer, and he asked the tenant who's living in the house there to keep an eye on the chatzer. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a braisa, Im Omar, if somebody made the following announcement, following declaration. Anything, any metziah that comes into my chatzer, tikne li chatzeri. It should automatically become mine because of a tinyan chatzer. Says the Braisa, by Amaklon. His declaration is meaningless. Ask the Gemara, v'misa l'hodam Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina. If what Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina said is correct, that he said, chatzer shlodam, kind of loy shalem adatoy, that my chatzer is kind of for me immediately, and my loy amaklum, why is what he said meaningless? My chatzer should work for me. Answers the Gemara, chachem ma'iskinon, we're referring to a situation, the chatzer shenem ishtameris. Chatzer shenem ishtameris, as I said a moment ago, isn't kind of on behalf of the person. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're explaining that braisa, let's continue learning the braisa. Yachayim seifa. If there's a rumor, everybody in the city is aware that a metziah came into my chatzer, and I made this announcement that everything that comes into my chatzer should be mine, then dvarav kayamim. Ask the Gemara, If we're referring to a chatzis shenem shtameris in this brisa, so even kiyotzla shem mitzi beir, everybody knows that this mitzi came into my chatzar. My havi, what should make a difference? It's a chatzis shenem shtameris, and a chatzis shenem shtameris is not koina. Answers the Gemara: kiven the yotzla shem mitzi beir. Once everybody knows that this mitzi fell into my chatzar, everybody stays away from it. They all assume that it's mine. Mivdol Badila in Shemineh, everybody stays away from it, and that's why it's considered like Chatzah Mishtameres. So Rishonim point out that what is the Lomdus here? The Lomdus, some say it's like Oni HaMahapach B'Charoro, that once I'm involved something, we learned the halacha, nobody else is allowed to interfere. Here too, if it fell into my Chatzah and I'm aware of it, everybody, it's mine, nobody else is allowed to touch it. So ask the Tosfos Rosh, if that's the pshat in that brisa, so why was the announcement, the declaration that he made, that anything that comes into my chatzah should be mine, necessary? He shouldn't have to make any declaration if we're saying that everybody stays away because it's in my chatzah. So answer the Tosfos Rosh, since we're referring to a chatzah, Sheinim Shtameris, so that's a weak chatzah, which on itself, even though everybody is staying away from it, can't do a kinyan. So we have to have two concepts working together to affect the kinyan. Number one, that I made the declaration. Number two, that everybody else is staying away, miv the bottle. And therefore, even though it's a chatzah she'ena mishtameris, the kinyan will be a valid kinyan. Ask the Gemara, may say another brisa. The brisa says, Zevel, hayotzim natana makrayim. We have the Zevel, the koilet, Avir or Zevel that's in the air, Hareu Shaloi. It belongs to the tenant. The Sheberefesh B'Chatzar, the Zevel that's in the barn or in the Chatzar, that Zevel belongs to the Balabais. Ask the Gemara from Islahad Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina. If what Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina said, the Chatzar Shal Adam Koinaloi Shaloi Medatoi, then my Chatzar is automatically Koina for me everything that's in it. Why? Ask the Gemara. Koilet me aver, amai harei hu shaloi. Why something that's suspended over my chotzer belongs to the tenant, not to the landlord? Aver chatzeruhu. Isn't this the aver of my chotzer? And anything that comes into the airspace of my chotzer should have the same din as my chotzer, that it's koina. Answers the Gemara, amrabaya b'mad b'keli b'shulei par. The Bryce is referring to a situation that I, the tenant, put a vessel right under the animal, that the manure will deposit right into that vessel, and it will not fall onto the floor of the chatzar. And therefore, even though chatzer shel adam koina lo shel medatoi, here it's not going to come to the chatzar. Why is it not going to come to the chatzar? Because the keli that I, the tenant, am putting under the animal, prevents that from happening. And in fact, Rabbi Chanan helps us understand the Gemara. Rabbi Chanan says, from here we see that whenever we speak about the avir of a chotzer having the same din of the chotzer, is because it's not that the avir has an independent identity. Rather, what makes the avir special is because ultimately it's going to land on the floor of the chotzer. But here, where I put the keli there, so it prevents it from landing in the chotzer. Therefore, the halacha is that avir doesn't have the halacha of a chatzar. And in fact, says Rava Omer, avir shein soif lenuach. Rava says, I don't have to go as far as Abaya. I don't have to have that the vessel that I put under the animal has to be actually touching the animal. As long as it's going to fall into the vessel, and it's going to prevent what falls into the vessel will prevent whatever falls there from falling onto the ground, the chatzar is not koina for it. Rav Amar, Avish ain't soifel and nuach lavke manuch dami. Ask the Gemara. Umi pshita leila Rava, is that obvious to Rava that if it's not going to land, then you don't have a kinyan chotzer v'mebay bayalei? We actually learned that Rava had a question back at the beginning of Masechta on Daf Yud Beis. The boy Rava zark arnaki bePesach ze v'yotze Pesach ze. I threw a wallet over. A wallet was thrown over the airspace of a chatzar mahu. Will that chatzar be koina that wallet? do we say avish ein soifel nuach k'monach tami? If it won't land, the chatzar can't be koinet. I lav k'monach tami. So here we see that it doesn't have to be to land for the chatzar to be koinet. Answer the Gemara, you can't compare the circumstances. Yes, the wallet is traveling over the chatzar, and it doesn't land in the chatzar. But there's nothing interfering between the wallet and the ground of the chatzar. That's where Rava has a shaila that perhaps the chatzar could be koinet. But in the case of Rava, and certainly the case of Abaya, do you have this vessel in which the chatzar, the zevel is going to fall? That is an interruption between the animal and the floor of the chatzar. There Rava will agree that the chatzar is not koinet. Ask the Gemara. The next words of the Brice that we just quoted were, v'sherefesh b'chatzar, the manure that's found in the barn on the chatzar, harei shebalabais. They belong to the balabais. Ask the Gemara Tarti. And the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to learn the Gemara. We're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi, that the question is a very simple question. Why does the Brice have to give us two examples of the same concept, both the barn and the chotzer, that they belong to the owner, to the landlord? That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question. Tosfos explains the Gemara's question that there's actually, that the Gemara is asking, there's a stira here. What's the stira? But the Brice is saying that the zevel that's found in the refes belongs to the landlord. What is the Brice trying to say? That the zevel in the refes belongs to the landlord. What about the zevel in the chotzer? That belongs to the tenant. Because if the halacha were that not only the zevel in the refes belongs to the landlord, but even the zevel in the chotzer belongs to the landlord, so if you say the chotzer, it's obvious the refes. So by the Brice is saying refes, it seems that the chotzer belongs to the tenant. And then the Brice says no, that the chotzer belongs to the landlord. So we have a stira. Well, again, like I said, we'll learn with Rashi. Why do we need both cases? Answers the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Hachi Kama. The way to understand the Brice is as follows. Harefesh b'chotzer, that if there's a refes in the chotzer, the zevel that's in that refes, in that barn, harei shebal abayis. And Amar Vashi, what is the Brice teaching us? Zois Ameris, the Brice is teaching us, that a mask chatzerustam, that even if the landlord rented out the chotzer, like Hesker Refeshaba, the refus is not automatically included, and the refus remains the landlord's unless it's specifically rented out to the tenant. Meisvei asked the Gemara, we know, there's a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. The Torah says, Ki yikara kan tzipa lefanecha, if you find a bird with the mother over the children, Shaleich to Shaleich HaSaim, send away the mother, Vesabonim, Tikachloch, we should keep the children for yourself. Says the Brisa, Yoyne Sheva for Yoyne Aliyah, if somebody has in his chotzer these nests, Chayeves b'shiluach, there's a mitzvah shiluach hakein, v'suris b'gezel, and somebody who takes away these birds is over gzela, they belong to the owner of this chotzer, but only with Mnei Daka Shalom. That means really there isn't gezeilah midaraisa. It's only gezeilah midrabban because of Daka Shalom. Ask the Gemara, Vem isla hadam Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina. If what Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina said is correct, the chetzer shel adam kainu lo shleim adatoi, that anything that's in my chotzer automatically becomes mine, so why is there a mitzvah shluch haken here? Krikan, shouldn't this be a situation of ki karei prat l'mezumen? There's a very interesting din. The din is that Shluach HaKein, you're only chayiv for Shluach HaKein if you happen to find such a nest. But if you have it prepared in your chatzar, even though there's a mother and over its eggs, over its children, there's no din of Shluach HaKein. So how do we reconcile this? If it's considered mine, it's mezumin. And there's no mitzvah Shluach HaKein. How's the Brice speaking about Shluach HaKein? So I saw a beautiful vort from Satmar Rebbe. He says, this mitzvah of Shluach HaKein is just the opposite of every mitzvah in the Torah. Because we know that a very important element in every mitzvah is the achana to the mitzvah. have to prepare yourself before you do a mitzvah. You just don't just jump in to do a mitzvah. And here, the Torah teaches us, ki yikari, prat l'mazumen. You're not supposed to prepare yourself for the mitzvah. Why? Why? So he says a beautiful word. He says that the Medrash says that the mitzvah shlucha kein is a very important mitzvah, and the schus, somebody fulfilling the mitzvah shlucha kein, the Mashiach will come. What's the connection between Mashiach and shlucha kein? Shlucha kein represents that when you separate the mother from the children, they cry, they're in pain for that separation. That, so to speak, reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, of our experience in Golus, that we're separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Golus. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers Klal Yisrael and brings Mashiach. The Medrash also says the Mashiach will come by Hesach Hadas. There's not going to be an announcement, next Tuesday Mashiach is coming. We're going to be sitting in the middle of the shir, and all of a sudden, the alarm's going to go off. Mashiach is here. So that's why if Shluch HaKein is connected to Mashiach, just like Mashiach will come without any prior announcement, Shluch HaKein should be done without any prior announcement. But back to our Gemara, if everything in my chatzar is mine, how do we have the mitzvah Shluch HaKein? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Deya b'tzias rubahu d'chayv l'b'shluach. The chiv of Shluch HaKein comes when most of the egg emerges from the mother. However, umitn lekanya, but the kinyan chatzer doesn't kick in ad enough for leib chatzeroi until it actually lands in the chatzer. The kik tani chayavus bishluach, and therefore when the Mishnah says that there's a mitzvah shluch hakeini, the Braisa says that there's a mitzvah shluch hakein, it's mikam the tipul chatzeroi before the eggs land into my chatzer. Ask the Gemara if that's the case, that the eggs haven't landed in my chatzar, yachai my source mishum gezel. It's not mine yet. So why, if you take them, have you done anything wrong? And says, Gemara, Iman, you haven't done anything wrong about the eggs. You're not allowed to take the mother, because the mother is already mine, because the mother was in the chatzar. Vibay seima, lailam abeyim. We are talking about the eggs. I would just say the eggs aren't mine, because they haven't landed, says the Gemara, over the Norfolk River, since most of the eggs have emerged, and they're going to land, not that way. I'm assuming I, the Bala Chatzar, the owner of the Chatzar, assume that they're going to become mine, therefore you're not allowed to take it. Says the Gemara, the Hashto Amar of Yehuda Merav, Osla Zakas Lebeitzim, Kol Zman, Shem Revet Salayim, I can't take the eggs until the mother is sent away, because that's what the Torah says. Shinemar, Shaleich to Shaleich Haseim. First you have to send the mother away, and only afterwards, Vahadas Abonim, Tikalach, only then may you take the Beitzim. Afilatem the Nafalel Chatzerai. We can say that the eggs actually landed in the Chatzer. However, says Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Heicha the Iu Matzah Zachlei. Wherever I myself could take ownership of the Beitzim, there the halach is Chatzer Zachlei. So my chatzah could do it as an extension of me. However, kol heicha the iu lo matzah zachlei. But in a case where the Torah says you can't take those beitzim yet because you haven't sent away the mother yet, chatzera nami lo zachlei. And that's why there's no issa gezel if they're taken away. Ask the Gemara, yehocha surf the gezel v'mnei dak shalom. So why is there issa if somebody else takes it away, albeit an issa drabonim? Let's think about it, says the Gemara. He the Shalcha, if I already sent away the mother, then Gezem Al Yehi. Then the eggs become the Bala Chatzar. Anybody taking them is doing real Gezela. If, on the other hand, the Loi Shalcha, if the mother hasn't been taken away, and as we just finished explaining, until the mother is actually sent away, you can't take those baits and don't become the property of the Bala Chatzar, Habay Shlucha. And until then, there's no Gezela. Answers the Gemara, here we're talking about a case, the cotton, the labar shluach. It's a cotton that's taking them, and he's not relevant to the mitzvah of shluach hakein, and therefore, he could take the beitzim. He doesn't have a problem that sending away the mother prevents him from taking the beitzim, because he doesn't have a mitzvah. He's a cotton. Ask the Gemara, cotton, bar takish olam. What does Dakishon mean? That Rabbanan said that even though there is no Gzela Deraisa, there's a Gzela Derabbanan. We're worried about Gzela by Ketanim, and Siddum HaHoch Kama. Obviously, cotton. If a cotton will take those Beitzim, Chayv LaHachsaloi, even though with the Raisa he didn't do anything wrong, but Mnei Dakishon, he should give him back to the owner of the Chatzim. Says the Mishnah, Hamas Kabayis L'Chaveroi, if somebody rents out an apartment to somebody else, L'Shana, for a year. Not a problem is, the year becomes a leap year. Jewish leap year has an extra month. And the question is, does he have to pay another month rent or not? Many Rishonim say that the case here is not in any situation of a leap year. It's specifically where the rental year began in Rosh Hashanah. That means, at the beginning of the year, on Rosh Hashanah, I rented you my apartment, L'Shana, for the year, and now the year became a leap year. What is the din? Again, Hamas Kabayis L'Chaveru L'Shana, says the Mishnah, the Sabra, Shana and the Sabra L'Soicher, the tenant gets an extra month free. Hiskaloy L'Chadoshim, but if the rent was made up, not on a yearly basis, but on a monthly basis, this Abra Shana, and that is an extra month, this Abra Lamaskar. The landlord gets another month rent. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Maisa B'tzipayri, Bechet Shesoch Merchet, Mechaveroi, V'shnei Asa Zov, L'Shana, V'dina Zov L'Chaydish. So there was a contradictory statement. They rented it, they spoke about a year, and they also spoke about a month. So now they didn't know what should be done. This question was asked of Shimon Gamliel, or of Nerev Yossi, and they said, this last, the 13th month, the landlord and the tenant should divide between themselves. Asked the Gemara, Maisa Lister. So the Mefarshim are very troubled with this line of Gemara. Our Mishnah didn't say, where is the stira? Maisa Lister, we had it earlier in the Shir, always means that we have one psak in the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah gives us a story that had an opposite psak. Where's the opposite? First the Mishnah said when we spoke about a year. Then the Mishnah spoke about a month. And then the Mishnah says a story about where there's a confusion because you could interpret what I said both ways. So where did the Mishnah say differently that you than Yechloiku, that the Gemara should ask my solicitor? So I saw a number of answers in the Rishonim. One answer in the Rishonim, interesting answer, you have to verify, is the Mishnah will never bring a Maisa, will never bring a story to corroborate something that isn't said explicitly in the Mishnah. So it's not that this story necessarily contradicts anything previously stated in the Mishnah. But the case of the story and what they did in the story is not quoted earlier in the Mishnah. And it's not the way of the Mishnah to quote a story, to bring a story to something that we never spoke about in the Mishnah. That's the nicest and easiest teretz. Other teretz I saw is that the Mar is assuming that in the case like this, it would not necessarily be Yachloiku. And because if that were the din, then the Mishnah should have mentioned such a story, and therefore, such a psak, and therefore the Gemara is asking, my solicitor. Answers the Gemara, Chsuri Mechser Vachtani. The way we have to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Vim Amma, Loi, B'shneim Asa Zuvim L'Shona, Medina Zav L'Chaydish. If he said, so to speak, contradictory statements, there Alochi is Yachloiku. The tenant and the landlord should split up that month's rent between themselves. And then the Mishnah says, "Umayis nami b'tzipayri be'echet shetzoch americas b'chavei b'shnei masu zuvim l'shana b'dinah zav l'chaydish or bo mais l'fnei Roshim Gamliel l'fnei Rabbi Yossi v'yayimu yachloiku z'chaydish z'ibra." Amar Rav, says Rav, "I havoi hasam, if I would have been there, have yivna kivle l'maskir, I would have said that the landlord gets his whole month." And the Rishonim point out, how could Rav argue on Tanom? So they say the Rav, as the Gemara will make clear, was basing his psak on precedent that we find in other sugyas and shas, as the Gemara is going to quote in a moment, and therefore Rav wasn't acting against Tanom as an amoira. My kamashmon, because what is Rav telling us? Tfayis lashon achron, that if I make two statements that are contradictory statements. And the question is, do we follow the first statement or the second statement? Rav says we follow the second statement. And therefore, in this case, where the deal was established on a yearly basis and then on a monthly basis, we follow the monthly basis because that was said last. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashmon, what is Rav teaching us? As we just said, Tfois Lash Nachron, that we always follow the second statement. Ask the Gemara, Hamar Rav Chadazimna. Rav already taught us once this. Dom Rav Huna, Amri Beir Rav, Astira Meim Mona. If somebody made a transaction saying an Astira Meim Moi, which is also contradictory, because an Astira, I won't give you the mathematics, but you could trust me. The Astira is 96 Prutis, and Meim Moi is 100 Prutis. So what do I owe you? 96 or 100? Astira Meim Moi, Meim Moi. Then you have to pay 100 prutas. On the other hand, meimor astira. If I said meimor, which is astira, then astira. I have to give you only 96 prutas. So what is it obvious? That we always follow the second statement. So ask the Gemara, if Rav is telling us, as he said elsewhere in Shas, that that's the halacha, that tfoy slash nachrin, so what do I need him to repeat it over here? Answers the Gemara. Imahasam have a mina prusha kamafarish. If that was the case, Meim Mona and Astira cannot coexist. Because as I said, May is 100, Astira is 96. So it's either 100 or 96. It has to be one or the other. So therefore, we don't know which one to follow. Tells us Rav, Tfois Lashon Hara. In our case, it could be, these two statements don't necessarily contradict each other. If I say I'm renting it to you for a year, and I also say, but it's going to be monthly rent. It's not stira. That's the way we talk. And therefore, it shouldn't be connected. Kamashmon, that Rav teaches us that our Mishnah 2 is a situation of Tfois Lashon Achron. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel explains that our Mishnah is referring to Baba Emtsa Chodesh Eskinan. That the landlord and the tenant are having this dispute in the middle of the month. Aval Baba Tchilas Chodesh, at the beginning of the month, I, the landlord, come to you, and I say, I want this month's rent. So now, it's my apartment, and you're living in my apartment, so I'm the muchzik, so you have to give me the whole month's rent. Kula lamasker. On the other hand, Baba Saif Chaydish, if I came at the end of the month, and you already lived here the whole month, and you already have the money, and I want to take the money from you, so this is a situation that we've had many times, of Amoitz Mechaveroi, all of Haraya, And since I can't conclusively prove that you owe me the money, the halach is kula l'soicher. Ask the Gemara, it's only in the middle of the month that we divide. Ask the Gemara, miyam Shmuel. So obviously, Shmuel is arguing with Rav and not following the psak of Tfois Lashon Achron. Ask the Gemara, Mi am Shmuel, lo yamin Tfois Lashon Achron? Does Shmuel not follow Tfois Lashon Achron? V'Rav Shmuel d'amri tavayu. If somebody says, Kor b'shloshim ani moichalach. If I say to you, I'm selling you a kor for 30 zuz, so I'm selling you the entire kor for shloshim, yochalachsboy afila b'soach roina. I could go back on the deal because the deal is not considered consummated until it was all delivered. On the other hand, if I said kor b'shloshim, and then I said so b'sela, so by adding these words of so b'sela ani moichalach, risha rishin kana. The halach is that since I added the word so b'sela, there are 30 saw in a kor, and each saw is viewed as a separate transaction. Why? Because Tfois Lashon Achron. So here we see that Shmuel follows the din of Tfois Lashon Achron. Why isn't he following it in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara. Hasan Tamamai, Mishum the Tafis. He says there's really no dispute. What's the reason if it was sold Shloshim Vesaw, that statement was made? And I already gave you 29 saw, let's say. And now I want to back out of the deal. Why could you prevent me, you the buyer, prevent me from backing out of the deal? Because you could say that I meant that you already got those 29 saw, you're holding them, and you're saying that that the deal is each saw separately, and since you're muhsik in them, unless I, the seller, could conclusively prove that it was meant to be sold as one package, and therefore until the entire package was delivered, I could back out, I can't back out. So what is the basis of Shmuel's Psak there by Tvois Loshen Achron? That you're holding on to the saw, and I might smichaveroi all of Araya. But the way we explained our Mishnah, Shmuel's Psak in our case, is also based that the one that's holding it is in the stronger position, because the other one is Hamaitz Mechaver Al Varaya. So actually, they don't contradict each other, they're the exact same lumdus. Hasam Tamamai Mishim the Tophis. The buyer is already holding those saw, and if I want to take them back, Hamaitz Mechaver Al Varaya. Here too, if the tenant was already in the apartment the entire month, and now I want to collect rent, and he says, no, I don't owe you the rent, I am the Hamaitz Mechaver Al Varaya, and I lose. Rav Nachman Amar, Karka Becheskes Baal Kayemis. The landlord prevails. Why? Because I own the property. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashmon, what is Rav Nachman saying? Tvois Loshen Achron, that we look at the monthly rate, not the yearly rate. But isn't that what Rav said? Answers the Gemara, Afgav Dapuch Mepach. According to Rav Nachman, it makes no difference. It makes no difference what order was said. Because according to Rav Nachman, the factor is that since I own this apartment, I am the stronger position. So according to Rav Nachman, so now we have three very different piskei halacha in the shaila. According to Rav Nachman, the landlord always wins because he owns the apartment. According to Shmuel, it has nothing to do with the way it was expressed. According to Shmuel, it depends at what point of the month it was. The beginning of the month, the landlord wins. The end of the month, the tenant wins. Middle of the month, they divide. According to Rav, we look at what was the Loshen Achron that was said. Continues the Gemara. By my name, Rav Yanai. They asked the following question to Rav Yanai. Soicher Amar Nosati. The Soicher says, I already paid rent. I never got any rent. Amil Avi Raya. Who has to prove his position? Asked the Gemara Amos. Exactly when is this debate going on? If it's before the time Tanina, Ilachas Manoi, or if it's after the time Tanina, we've learned it. The Tanan, Mesa Av Betoy Shloshim Yoin, if a father owed money, and Stam Hava, we know throughout Shas, is Shloshim Yoin, and here we had a situation that the father died before the 30 days, the due date of the loan came, and the question is, the Simon want to pay the father's debts if he indeed owed the money. And we don't know, did he or didn't he pay this debt? Says the Mishnah. Meis abatoy shloishim, if he died before the 30 days, before the due date, or here we're talking about a pinyan abed. And the question was he paid his son? So och is, becheskes shloim niftat shavi raya. We could assume that he didn't do the pinyan abed until the time comes. If it's after the 30 days, with the time to do the pinyan abed is in shloish miyoyim, becheskes shenifta, we could assume that the person did the mitzvah properly and did the pinyan abed. And from here we see that the pinyan abed is supposed to be done la'achas shloish miyoyim, after the whole 30 days is over. That's our minig. We do the pinyan abed on yoyim lamed aleph. There are people that do the pinyan abed, I think in the Sephardi community, they don't wait till yoyim lamed aleph, they already do it the night of lamed aleph. We wait for Yom Laman Aleph by the Ashkenazim. Lach Shloish Miyoyim, Becheske Shnifta, Ach Yom Laman Shloish Nifta. We assume that the person did it. So what's the case here? We have this argument. Is it before the rent was due? We could assume that it wasn't paid. If it was after the rent was due, we could assume that it was paid. Answers the Gemara. Loitzricha B'yoyma, the Mishlam Zanei. It's on the due date. Mi Ovid Inish Depar B'yoyma, the Mishlam Zanei. Is it, can we assume that a person pays his debts on that day? I lie. Amlu Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan responds, Tenisua. This too we learned. Socher bezmanoi nishba v'noitel. If the worker comes to collect his pay, if it's the due date, nishba v'naitel. We could assume that he wasn't paid. Because even though normally the halach is nishbon and you don't have to pay, here he swears and he collects his salary. In other words, there's a dispute between the employee and the employee if he got his pay. Here, if it's on that day, we could assume that he did not get paid. So isn't that a raya here too, that we should assume that the rent wasn't paid? Answers the Gemara. Sachar hudra mishavu alav. By a worker, Chazal said he has to make the shvua. Mishun de balabayis tar bepalav. A owner of a business has a lot on his head. He doesn't remember if he paid or not. Avul hoicha, in our case, sachar mehem b'shvua, the halacha will be, he's trusted that he paid, and he won't have to pay again.